And now, today's word.
The second strange woman of Christmas is Rahab. Rahab, her story is in Joshua chapter 2 and then later on chapter 4. But if you know the story of Israel, of Israel's entering the promised land, well, spies were sent out. Two spies were sent out to go and spy out Jericho because Israel was going to lay siege against the city and conquer it. When the two spies went, they went to the most unlikely place, the home of Rahab. Rahab was the prostitute. The men went to hide there. And for some reason, this woman with a very bad record and a very bad life felt in her heart that these good men needed protection. And although she was in a bad trade, she recognized goodness in people. And she decided, these are good people. These are people with a purpose. And she risked her life to save those men. The life of Rahab speaks to us about usefulness. Usefulness. That God can use even the most undesirable characters around us. People that we think have no character, they are immoral, they are wrong. We speak against them, we spit on them. God can still use them. And sometimes bad people can do good things. Sometimes evil people can do right things. That they can also be redeemed. They can also be saved. They can also be put right. It's easy to judge people. But I'm sure when God looks up down on this earth, if he was to deal with all of us according to our works, none of us will qualify. Just thank God for his grace that you've not been caught. Thank God for his grace that your thoughts are secret. Oh, if our thoughts were known by people, what horrible thoughts we think every day. Rahab, useful to the Lord. She sold her body in prostitution. She sold her body. She lost her dignity. She lost her self-respect. Society didn't like her because she was practicing something that nobody respected. And so she lived in isolation and shame. If you read the account, she lived alone in the wall of Jericho. Her house was on the wall. Far away, removed from society, removed from the community. Nobody really thought about her. They spoke with her with degradation. They insulted her. They insulted her relatives. Her father and mother felt ashamed of her profession. And rightfully so, because she was doing the wrong thing. But God sometimes goes to places that nobody wants to go to. God sometimes talks to people that you don't want to talk to. If God was like us, only good people will be saved. And bad people will be allowed to burn in hell. In spite of all her problems, Rahab believed in the promises of God to Israel. She had heard about what God did for Israel in Egypt and how God delivered them. She had heard stories that there is a tribe of people coming. And God is with them. And God is working miracles with them. She had heard that manna had fallen from heaven for these people. She had heard all these stories. It was news in Jericho. And she heard it. And whilst the rest of her townspeople were fighting the promise of God, she believed the promise of God. A woman with a bad reputation, but a good heart. Her heart was right. She believed. She told the people, the spies, we have heard that God is with you. We have heard that God goes before you. We have heard the victories that God has given to you. And I believe it. Rahab. A woman with a bad reputation, but a good heart. She believed in the promise of God to Israel. And not only that, she protected the spies and eventually brought deliverance to her whole family. She brought deliverance to her whole family. A strange woman of Christmas. In the end, her father, her mother, her brothers, her relatives all went to her house, which nobody wants to go to, because that was the only house that was preserved when Jericho fell. Only the house of Rahab, the prostitute, survived. And only those who went to her house survived. She teaches us about usefulness. Eventually, she reformed her life. She changed. She was integrated into the Jewish society. And that is how come she married a decent man who continued her and brought her into the Messianic line. God can still use you if you would just believe his promise. You believe his report. If you will believe what he says about you, if you believe what he says he wants to do with your life, you can trust him and he can make your life useful one more time. The shame will be gone. The disappointment will be gone. The insults will be turned into blessings. The third strange woman of Christmas is Ruth. Her story is in the book of Ruth, chapters 1 to 4. That's the whole book. And if you take time to read it, you will find something interesting about her. Her story speaks to us about God's acceptance. That God accepts us. That he's able to accept us just as we are, even when nobody wants us around. Ruth was a very interesting character. Most of us associate her with her mother-in-law, Naomi. A man from Bethlehem goes to the city of Moab with his wife, Naomi, and two sons. The two sons marry from the city of their sojourn. Moab is a place that God had told Israel never to go to because those people did some very terrible things to the Israelites when they were coming out. So they were not a preferred people. But this woman and the husband, because there was a problem in their country, fled to Moab. Their sons married, and over time, Naomi lost her husband, and she lost also the two sons. The two daughters-in-law lived with her to encourage her and comfort her. Eventually, she heard that life was back to normal where she was in Bethlehem, so she was going back. And when she was going back, her two daughters-in-law wanted to follow her. And she said to them, listen, I can't produce any sons for them to marry you. I can't help you. There's nothing I can do with you. I appreciate your faithfulness, but go back home, live your life, and get on with your life. One daughter-in-law says, yes, thank you, Mom. I'm going back. And she went back. But Ruth says, I have nowhere to go. Where you go is where I'll go. Where you lie is where I will lie. Your God will be my God. I will die where you die. My life is tied to you. I married your son, but I love you as a person. And I will share your pain, and I will share your bitterness, and I will share your frustration. So she went with this widowed woman, two widowed women. One was an Israelite, the other was from a bad tribe. Eventually, so many things happened. Ruth was brought back into the covenant of Israel. So the first thing you note about Ruth is that she belonged to a despised tribe. Despised tribe. So that's what Ruth was. Ruth was from a tribe that Israel didn't fancy. Israel didn't like those people because they treated them bad in history. And they didn't want to have anything to do with it. If you married into that nation, you were ostracized. But she followed her mother-in-law to Israel. That was courage. She had become a widow at a very young age. She was widowed at a young age. She followed her mother-in-law, not knowing how the future would be for her. But she was an extremely loyal and faithful person. And she was rewarded for her loyalty and faithfulness. God rewarded her loyalty. A woman from the wrong tribe, but the right attitude. I think sooner or later you'll get to understand that the difference in human beings is not their tribes, it's their attitude and their heart. And Ruth shows us the tribe can be wrong. Maybe from a tribe you don't like. There are some parents who don't want to hear their son or daughter is marrying from those people. Didn't you see human beings? Didn't you see human beings anywhere? As if those people are not human beings. If you have that attitude, Ruth must speak to you. It's the heart, it's the attitude. And God rewarded her for her loyalty and faithfulness. And God honored and blessed her with a new marriage. That marriage story between Ruth and Boaz is a romantic epic. If you want to do a romantic novel, go and read the book of Ruth and rewrite it. Because this mother-in-law, Naomi, had been married for a while and knew men. And so gave advice to Ruth as to how to catch the attention of a rich, prosperous, noble man. And she played the game so well and caught the man's attention and later got married very beautifully. But she was in the household of faith. She gave birth to Obed, then Jesse, then David. The last strange woman of Christmas is Bathsheba. I know most of you don't want to hear about her. Bathsheba, she tempted the king. Her story is in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and chapter 12. Bathsheba, young, beautiful girl, was married to a valiant soldier, Uriah. And as happens to soldiers everywhere, the husband goes on duty. One moment is Lebanon, is East Timor, is Congo DRC, or Sierra Leone. So the husband goes on duty and leaves her lonely at home. Soldier marriage can be lonely. And she had a nice way of moving around in town, just whiling away the time. Unknown to her, somebody was watching her movements. Somebody who was the commander-in-chief of the army of Israel. Her husband was working under him. He was the boss. And he would stand on top of his house. And if you know about those outdoor bathrooms, if your house is tall enough, you can see enough. It's like having a six-story building in some of the communities in Accra. If your house is that tall, you have free view. And so David stands on top of the house and begins to survey his kingdom. And he'll see things. Saw people having their bath. Some were old women. Didn't take a second look. And all kinds of things. But then he takes a look somewhere and sees this woman. And he liked what he saw. And I'm sure, I'm not there, but I'm sure the woman also took a side glance and saw the king is looking. And so a 5-minute bath becomes a 30-minute bath. And she goes on and on and on. They are playing games. They are flirting with each other because they all like the attention they are getting from each other. But she thought it will end that way, just with a little attention from a king that will boost her self-image and say, after all, the king also looks at me. She didn't see it was going to land her into big trouble. Eventually, it got her husband killed. Bathsheba speaks to us about restoration. That God is a God of restoration. She's a strange woman in the family of Christ. She was violated by a powerful king. A man in authority used his power, violated her, literally snatched her from her husband. If it had happened in these days, it would start with sexual harassment, it would be going to sexual abuse, and it would probably become a rape case. But there was no Shraj in the days of David. Violated by a powerful king, she lost her husband and her first child. Because when she slept with David, she conceived. David went into all kinds of tricks to make the husband take responsibility for what was not his. Eventually, when he saw the husband was not taking advantage of that responsibility, he just arranged for the disappearance of the husband. As politicians do sometimes. They don't kill you. They arrange for your disappearance. And God is so displeased with what happened. Really, not with Bathsheba, but with David. Because if anybody should know better, it's David. He's the king. He's the man after God's heart. He's the man who sings and worships God. He knows God. He knows the voice of God. But he brings this woman into calamity. So the first child dies. But God has mercy on her and gives her 4 more children. She was forgiven by God. And she was giving new children.